The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, and we are here each and every Sunday morning providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. It's my pleasure to be here. This is, I think, our fifth year doing this. So it's a great pleasure to be able to provide this advice to individuals and families and business owners and everyone else all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the Southern New Hampshire area with financial advice that we talk about on a regular basis. My goal here is to answer your questions, is to address issues that come up daily in your life, and try to provide some sanity to it all, try to provide some rational thinking, as opposed to some of the wild suggestions that are out there, the irrational thoughts, the hype, the misinformation that might be out there. Look, when you're doing financial planning and trying to provide advice for yourself, it really needs to be specialized, and you really need to understand how the advice that you hear really fills into your life, not what's in the best mood for everybody else. I use this as an example all the time where I say, when we talk about what America is doing and when we hear about the average American, chances are, if you're listening to this show, you're probably not part of the typical average American, though you may think you're average for Massachusetts or for the North Shore or for Merrimack Valley. But if you're watching the NBC Nightly News and you're listening to the stories about the average American, chances are they're not talking to you, which may seem kind of strange when you really think about it. Think about this. The average household income in America is $48,000. No, I'm not talking about one person. I'm talking about the average household income as measured by what's called the adjusted gross income on the bottom of the 1040 of your tax return. And if recently you've just had your tax return done, you can pull out that front page, look all the way down to that bottom right corner, and take a look. What is that number? Is it greater than $48,000? Perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't. My guess is if you're living here in Massachusetts, you know that that number is higher. But that's not the case for everybody. Perhaps you're retired. Perhaps you're pulling in different sources of income and it brings that average down. But the average person is doing $46,000 to $48,000 a year. So you know what that means? With 300 plus million Americans, there's got to be as many people doing above that $48,000 number as there are doing below it. A couple other quick statistics to keep you all in the scope of what's going on for the real world. 48,000 might be the number for the country, but what's that average household income for Massachusetts? Well, that number approaches about $70,000. That's right. That's almost 80% more than the $48,000 we've been talking about. So yeah, generally Massachusetts residents are making a lot more money than what the average American's making. Now let's even screen it down even closer. Let's go to Beverly, Danvers, North Andover, those areas. Do you know what the average household income is there? It's above $90,000. $90,000, that's almost twice the American average. So think about this. This may shock you a little bit as we get into our show today. A couple things for you to think about. Some fun food for thought ideas. For you to be considered amongst the 10 highest income earners in all of America, the highest 10% of income earners all across America is based upon the adjusted gross income number that you see on your tax return. In order to be above the 10% number, you have to be making over $125,000 a year. No, that's not one person. That's your household. Not just one person, but the household. If your household income is above $125,000, congratulations, you're considered to be part of the top 10% of American income earners. If you're above $240,000, you're considered to be part of the top 5%. And what does it take to be part of the 1%? Is it the millionaires and billionaires that are out there? Well, in order to be part of the 1%, don't get me wrong, this is a really nice income. But $450,000 is what it takes to be part of the 1%. Not 2 million, not 10 million, not 20 million, but $450,000. And I bet either you or you know somebody who's making more than that number. So let's put everything to perspective when we start talking about who is middle America, who is the average American, who is the typical person that needs financial advice. Well, folks, the reality is that everybody needs financial advice. I don't care whether you make $10 an hour or $10,000 an hour. When money comes into the household, when money is handed to you, and you have to make a decision as to what to do with that money, as to how you're going to use that money to cover your health, maintenance, and support, for the housing that you need, the clothes that you're going to wear, the food that you're going to eat, the entertainment that you might take, the expenses that you may pay for your children and others, it's tough. It's a challenge. Everybody is faced with those decisions. What will you do? How do you make those decisions? Well, one of the things that we try to do here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. is to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to give you a bunch of pieces of information that came from a booklet that I got that's issued by the Oppenheimer Funds. Periodically, I get some of these pieces that people send along and they say, hey, you know, Mark, some of this might be really interesting for your listeners on the radio show. And so this piece that I have, and I'm sorry if you get this background noise because I'm using this little flip chart here in front of me. It talks about all different types of issues that investors face both now and things that they faced 20, 30, 40 years ago and what they'll likely face 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. You know, one of the things that has been a challenge for investors over the past 30 years is trying to figure out when to invest. When do I get in? When do I get out? What moves do I make? Because if you watch television, you watch the movies, and you've watched all of these different stories. I don't know if you watch Billions right now, or perhaps you watch the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas. Perhaps you've watched other money-driven movies. And a lot of those money-driven movies, whether it's The Wolf of Wall Street or whatever else that you might have watched, it's all about action. It's all about making money. If you watch Kramer on CNBC, it's about buy, buy, buy or sell, sell, sell. Well, the reality is getting in and getting out is not going to make you rich. In fact, what's going to make you rich is being able to have the money that you believe you need so that you can enjoy your lifestyle the same way you have now all through the rest of your life. Because remember this, at some point, your paycheck will stop. That may happen at age 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, whatever it might be. At some point, you're going to say, you know what? I don't want to work any longer. And instead, I'd like to live off of my Social Security check or the pension check I might get, and then rely upon my other savings, my other investment accounts, my 401k, my brokerage account, my insurance policies, my annuities, my money in the bank, maybe an inheritance that I'll get from the folks. Whatever it might be, it's going to be up to you to manage that money. And when that responsibility is placed on your shoulders, it can be very, very daunting. In fact, the Boston Globe ran a story this past week about how challenging it is for seniors. You see, everyone talks about the importance of saving money for the future, and that's okay. You can live with some risks, some challenges, some ups and downs. You can even be aggressive. But when that paycheck stops and you've accumulated the wealth that you have, and now you have to live off it, with the prospect of being able to keep up with the pace of inflation, that's a daunting responsibility. How will you do it? And when the market sounds, and I say sounds, as volatile as it's been over the past, 5 months or so, it could lead many investors to worry. But I'll tell you this. You may think the market is volatile right now. It's not in comparison to other times in our lives. The markets move up and down 300, 400, 500 points. Big deal. Big deal. Now, if the market was at 5,000 or at 8,000 and it moved up and down 400 to 600 points a day, yeah, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But with the market hanging around 23,000 or so, a 500-point move up and down doesn't really mean a lot. And especially when it's a lot of up 300 and 400s and down 300 and 400s. You know, just a week and a half ago or so, while many people were worried about the enormous volatility of the market, many didn't realize that as of, I think it was the end of March, the stock market, the S&P 500, which manages the 500 largest stocks that trade on the exchanges, it was down 0.8%. 0.8%. Not down 10, not down 5, not down 25. 0.8%. I want you to think about this. Despite all the volatility that's gone on in the markets over the past few months, if you want to call it volatility, and I'm just calling it noise to tell you the truth, put this into perspective. When Donald Trump came into office, I don't care whether you like Donald Trump or not, when there was a shift in the person that was going to take the presidency in the White House, the market was hovering around 18,000. Since that day, it has gone up almost as high as 26,000. And yes, it's hovering around 23,000. But still, I'll take 18,000 to 23,000 any day of the week. And anybody who says, well, I'm losing money now because I recently just got into the market. Well, that is far from a reason to get out. Remember, if it is your intent to invest in the stock market, if it is your intent to invest in mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, annuities, insurance contracts, whatever it is that you're going to invest in, I hope you're doing it for the long term. Because I bet if you've even done some of your own research, you've looked at the 5-year, 3-year, 15-year, 20-year number. Would any of those investments have reached those 10-year, 15-year, 20-year, even 3-year numbers if the investor kept on getting in and getting out? Absolutely not. So I suggest this to you. If you're planning on putting money in the market, and I don't care whether you do it today or did it 6 months ago or do it 6 months from now, if you're going to put money into this stock market, know full well that you do not intend on touching the money for at least 3 or 4 years. And if there is even the slightest possibility that you think you might need to touch that money, don't invest in the stock market. Yes, you may make money, and yes, you could be lucky. But so too could a lot of black swan events happen too. No one expected planes to go flying through the Twin Towers. No one expected the threat of nuclear attacks from North Korea happen. Nobody expected Greece to have their challenges and Russia to have their challenges and terrorist attacks to happen. Nobody expected any of this stuff to happen, but it does. It doesn't even, in many cases, it doesn't even happen. It threatens to happen. And it changes the course of what the market views as the possibilities. But I think you'll learn as we go through some of the slides that I'm going to share in the next few segments and the stories that I'll tell you is that holding on makes sense. Building the proper asset allocation strategy is what makes for a great investment strategy. Trying to guess whether oil or technology or consumer staples or banking or whatever it might be the industry in favor, or picking these things called cryptocurrencies or other types of metal, whether it's real or crypto or virtual. You don't want to do that. You want to build a strategy that's built to last. At Friedman Financial, my financial planning firm, that's what we've been doing for more than 50 years now. 50, not 15, 50 years. Our strategies have been built to last, and they do, with more than 4 to 5 generations of clients working through our office. We've seen a lot of good times and bad. And for those that have stuck to their guns, those that have taken rational advice rather than making emotional decisions, they've been well rewarded. Through this show, Dollars and Cents, and through visits that you might have to my office in Peabody, I want to give you that opportunity. I want you to best position yourself for your financial future. And we're going to talk about some ways to do that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents,
heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent, and we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, or on the web at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located at 41 Cross Street in Peabody, Massachusetts, just above the fabulous Alto Forno Italian restaurant. It is just amazing downstairs. The atmosphere in that restaurant is second to none. The food is amazing. The service is highly professional. And I really think you'll enjoy your experience at Alto. So take a visit down there. No, they don't pay me to advertise on this. I just happen to like the restaurant and I go there a lot. Only open for dinner, but our office is open during the day. So if you happen to be in the neighborhood and you see our sign on the building and you want to just swing by, say hello, I would love to meet you. Just swing by and say, hey, I'm a listener to the radio show. If you want to swing by, that's great. Or if you want to even schedule a free initial consultation, we would love to meet with you. We are scheduling these consultations all the time, but our office hours are generally 8:30 to 5. We do not hold weekend appointments. And we do not hold evening appointments. And many people will ask me, Mark, how can you not do that? Many people work late. They need to see you on the evenings or on the weekends. Well, I've got a few different kind of answers for that. The first is, one of the things that people are trying to accomplish to get their financial house in order is to improve their quality of life. They want to make sure that they're able to do what they want to do. And so as a firm, we've made the decision years ago to make sure that our office is emblematic of that. Sure, we work regular, ordinary office hours, 8:30 to 5. But I want to show that we can be home with our children, with our family for dinner, for baseball games, for dance recitals. I still want to be able to coach my kids. Well, they're a little bit older now, but I used to coach them. I want to be able to go out for dinners at night. I want to spend my weekends with the family. I want to have that flexibility, and I know you do too. But I also know this. When it's time to go visit the doctor or go see the dentist, you'll find time to get off of work to go and do those things. I want you to look at your personal financial life as something that ranks as high, if not higher, than going to visit the dentist. Look, your financial health and your personal health are of equal importance. Yeah, of course, well, I should say your personal health is probably slightly higher than your financial health. But if your financial health isn't in good order, your personal health could struggle too. We need to find time to do this. In our office, we're not just talking about investments. We're not talking about trying to buy the right investment strategy for you. Sure, that's important. But it's understanding how your overall financial situation lines up with the rest of your life. We're going to take a look at everything from the withholdings that you have on your pay stub, to your tax return, to your benefits booklets, to the commitments you have, whether it's to a mortgage company, a credit card company, to a student loan, to commitments you have to your children and or to your parents. We'll look at everything. We want to understand your life insurance. We want to make sure that you have the proper estate planning lined up. And especially as you're approaching retirement, and this is where we spend a lot of our time, for those people who are approaching retirement or just getting started in retirement, trying to make sure that you understand what you've accumulated, what your total net worth has as a value, and how you utilize all of that net worth to make sure that you are fulfilling the retirement lifestyle that you want. We have software in our office that can show you how to model all of that. And no, this is not some boilerplate software. We're going to ask you to share your real information. And we're going to play real scenarios and then run what-ifs on top of those. If you said, well, maybe I'd like to retire today and then work part-time for the next 6 or 7 years? Or what if I worked a couple more years and didn't start taking Social Security yet? Or what if I could get 1% more on my money than what I'm getting right now? Or perhaps I'm taking too much risk. And you could take less risk and still be able to accomplish the goals you want. There's so many different possibilities, so many iterations, so many stories and so many scenarios to consider. And the best way to consider those and review them and monitor them is to get an objective opinion. It would be our pleasure at Friedman Financial to help you with that. If now's the time to schedule a free initial consultation, because now is the time for you to get your financial house in order, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or you can certainly visit our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. And if you'd like, I always forget to mention this during our radio show, is we put out a newsletter. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. If you haven't yet registered for our newsletter, sign up for it. Go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website. You'll see a button or a little section there that says sign up for our free newsletter. You will get it each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. No cost or obligation to you. It's a financial advice in a language you can understand kind of newsletter. Really short little stories, news you can use. And I promise you this, I won't even follow up with a call. When the time is right for you to get serious about your financial planning, that's when you'll give us a call. But for now, let's talk about some of the threats to your investment portfolio. And the number one threat to your investment portfolio is what's called unbridled emotion. I see this all the time. People listen to the news, they hear stories at the coffee shop, they listen to their parents, they worry about the firm that they're working at, and emotion drives a lot of our financial decisions. You know, more money can be lost due to fear and greed and how we respond to it than all of the financial, economic, and geopolitical events combined. It's not the events themselves, but how we respond to these events that can cause the greatest harm. Think about that. When you make financial decisions, what is it based upon? Is it based upon a piece of news? Perhaps there's some fear. Perhaps there is some greed. The prospect of making all of this money or the prospect of losing it. Is that the smart time to be making investment decisions? If you have some free money around, sure. But the serious money, the money that is angled and guarded and designed to produce an income stream and money to you in retirement, you got to take that seriously. Did you know that the average investor, and I've talked about this before, doesn't even come close to beating the S&P 500 index? And in fact, that's what everybody walks in initially asking. How did we perform compared to the S&P 500? Or how can I beat the S&P 500? Or how will this portfolio do compared to the S&P 500? Well, let me give you a little bit of a reality check. Number one, how comfortable would you be in putting all of your money into stocks that are within the S&P 500? How would you be willing to do that? And let's say GE, Coca-Cola, IBM, and Apple are part of that mix. And I just grabbed four stocks that are within the S&P 500. There are 496 others. Would you be willing to put all of your money into the 500 stocks that trade on the exchange and saying, okay, I'll just run with it? Do you know how dangerous that is? How risky that is? Because if you were to lose 30% of your money in a very short period of time, how comfortable would you be with holding on? Well, most people aren't. And in fact, many people say, well, I'll invest in a certain amount of money in the S&P 500 and the rest of it I'll keep in the bank. It's what's called a barbell strategy. Some people invest a portion of money in stocks and some in extraordinarily safe investments. And then you ask them, how did you do in your portfolio? Well, should your portfolio be the S&P 500 or the portfolio be the amount that's in the S&P 500 and the money that's in the bank? Because at the end of the day, you're going to need to pull from both the stock market and the money in the bank in order to support your lifestyle. So too many individual investors are trying to chase wins, and they listen to the news and they try to make quick changes. Here's what's kind of interesting. Did you know that over the past 30 years, from 1987 to 2016, the average investor has performed worse than inflation? The average investor has performed 2.6% on average. That may not make sense to you. Say, how is that possible? Well, you know what's kind of interesting is in many cases, you really don't even know what your true return is. Because unless you invested money 30 years ago, never added money, never took any money out, and never made a trade, you really have no idea. And that is because you've made changes. You've had to pay trading costs. Perhaps you've paid taxes. Perhaps you've bought in and bought out or added money. And each of those various strategies impacts your total return. So what is your real return? Let's say, for instance, you have $100,000 in your 401k plan. In this year, you added $20,000 to it. And at the end of the year, it's worth $130,000. Did you just make $30,000? Did you make 30% on your $100,000? Absolutely not. But many people will say, Mark, it was worth $100,000 and my 401k is now worth $30,000. In the account that I have with you, Mark, I gave you $100,000 and it's worth $112,000. Look how much better my 401k did. Would you believe that that's not true? Because remember, 20 of the $30,000 was money you put in, and now it's worth $130,000. So realistically, you made $10,000 on what went from $100,000 to $130,000 in the investment account. And I'm using purely this as an example. This is not guarantee of any returns or anything. We put in $100,000, and now it's worth $112,000. You made $12,000. That's better. But it doesn't feel like it's better because the number's larger on the other one. We have to put everything into perspective. Did you know that over the last 30 years, the S&P 500 has done on average around 9.5% to 10%? But that means left it alone. Bonds have done 6.3% over the last 30 years. You think that'll happen again? I doubt it. International stocks, they've done 5.4% over the last 30 years, according to the Oppenheimer Report and Bloomberg that I have here in front of me. What do you think the likelihood is of the next 20 years, do you think international stocks will do better than United States stocks? I'd be hard-pressed to think that U.S. stocks are going to do twice as good as international stocks. I've got to believe that international stocks will do, if not as good, but maybe even better than United States stocks. Think of the potential. If you invested in gold over the past 30 years, you're up 3.5%. If you invested in a house, well, you've seen your account value go up. That's on average 3.5%. But the average investor, the average schmo that puts money into the market, tries to do investing on their own, on average, does 2.6%. Now, sure, you'll come up with stories that say, well, I've done so much better than that. I bet you'll pick a year or two where you really did. But what about 2008, 2009? What about some of those other years where it was a little bit more challenging? What about those years when you said, hey, I might like to do some day trading? And you got in and got out, but you didn't think about the trade costs. You didn't think about the taxes. You didn't think about all the time, effort, and money you spent preparing your taxes for your tax preparer so that they could end up letting you know how much you owed for taxes. Buying a strategy that works, tweaking it along the way, rebalancing along the way is what leads to the greatest success. And here's what happens. The herd mentality of investing is oftentimes very wrong. What's the big things to invest in right now? People talk about the FANG stocks, right? Well, at least 2 years ago, it was the FANG stocks. Facebook, Amazon and Apple, Netflix and Google. Well, how are you doing if you finally said, you know what, I think the future is Facebook, Amazon, Netflix and Google? You're losing a lot of money right now. But many people don't realize that. They're still hearing the headlines of what happened before. How would you think you would have done back in 1999 and 2000 had you bought Pets.com and TheGlobe.com and eToys? How do you think you would have done then? That was when the trend was going that way. Or how about in 2000 and how about these? How about from the time of 2008 to 2009? You might have owned some of the investment stocks, Fannie Mae and Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns and some of these others. Those are terrible investments to own. Think about some of the other herd. Remember, we used to walk around Disney World and you'd see Kodak, the Kodak photo spot, right? You see any Kodak photo spots around Disney World lately? Nope, they're all gone. But Kodak was a reputable company. So too was Lucent. So too was Enron. So too was a lot of firms. And now the question exists about GE. Who knows what will happen with GE? I don't know, but it's another stock that people would think, oh my God, that appeared to be a mutual fund all into itself, and now it's presenting its share of problems. Am I telling you whether to get in or get out? Absolutely not. But I will tell you this. The smartest investors know that picking individual stocks is a fool's game, an absolute fool's game. You only play that game unless you're willing to take some significant risk, and I would only do it with a small amount of money. You want to be looking at packaged products, things like mutual funds, index funds, exchange-traded funds, that help you minimize your risk by owning a collection of securities. And then there's those of you that continue to hold a large percentage of your portfolio in one stock because you think you need to be loyal to the company. Perhaps you work for GE or, I don't know, Amazon or whatever the company is, and you say, oh, we've made so much money here, I can't get rid of it. Or the dividend is so good, I've got to keep it. Folks, that is a mistake as well. But it's hard to be rational when you have nobody to talk to in a rational manner. When you're talking to your colleagues and everybody's emotionally vested in a particular investment, it's tough to go against the herd. But oftentimes, the herd is wrong, because if everybody is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking, as General George S. Patton left us with that quote. If everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. I'm going to leave you with that thought. When we get back, we're going to talk about more investment strategies, financial advice in a language that you can understand. And I'll also remind you just once more before we go to sign up for our newsletter, Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30, right into your inbox. All you need to do is go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Sign up for the newsletter while we take this quick break, and we'll be right back because we're going to talk to you about how no one has a crystal ball, yet oftentimes people act as though they do. You're listening to Dollars and Cents. We'll be right back. I don't have one thing on my mind. One thing on my mind. I do it for the long. I don't have.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. 41 Cross Street is our new office location. We've been here since September. But we are here today from 8 to 9 a.m. right here in the North Shore 104.9 studios, overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station. Actually, not so beautiful. Looks pretty barren today. Looks like people are finally beginning staying home and maybe doing some gardening around the house. Wouldn't you like an extended summer this year? Hey, speaking of summer, I want to give a quick shout out to my son, Jerry, who decided to commit to the University of Miami beginning this fall. We went down there last week to make our final decision, and I couldn't be more proud of him and more happy that he is going to be happy there. What a beautiful campus and what a place to really get a great learning opportunity. Learned a lot about that school. I thought it was one of these enormous colleges. It really isn't. He's going to be in the business school, and I really hope he does well there. So we're looking forward to that. But one of the things that I did not have was a crystal ball when it came to trying to figure out where Jerry was going to go to school. We had no idea what was going to happen. Just like we don't have a crystal ball to try to figure out where the next move is in the market. People will ask me all the time, Mark, where do you think the market's going in the next 6 months? What do you think of Tesla? What do you think of all of these different types of strategies? What do you think Trump's going to do next? What do you think's going to happen here? The answer is, I don't know. Yet that doesn't sell well for television. That doesn't sell well for radios. So if you're watching CNBC or CNN or BBC or whatever it is that you look at, when they ask that question, they're looking for somebody that's going to give a shock and awe answer. I think the market's going up 40% in the next 3 weeks. Or I think the market's going to drop 50% if this happens. That's shock and awe stuff. The stuff that you won't hear on the news is, I have no idea, because you don't either. That's the truth. We don't have a crystal ball. Though Many people act as if they do. Many people choose to make an investment because they believe they know what the next direction in the market is going to be. So I've been referring to this piece that's put together by Oppenheimer today, and they put together a collection of all sorts of one-page consumer-friendly explanations that come from a variety of different investment and analytical firms. This one happens to come from Morningstar Direct. Morningstar Direct did a analysis that said, I want you to look back over the past 20 years, 1998 to 2017, so 20 years. And I want to take a look at what would happen if I invested in the S&P 500 index. And we just talked about in the last segment, nobody does that, but that's how these measurement tools work. What if I invested $100,000 in 1998, not 2008, 1998, left it alone for 20 years, what would my amount of money be? So $100,000 left alone for 20 years, what do you think it would be worth from 1998 to 2017? The answer, close to $400,000. Your $100,000 turns into $400,000. And here's what's interesting. You went $100,000 to $400,000 in 20 years. That's without touching any money. And think about all that we went through. We went through terrorism, those planes going through the Twin Towers on 9/11. We went through a credit crisis. We've seen regime changes of our president. We've seen, think about this, we didn't even have an iPad back in 1998, let alone an iPhone. We didn't have Apple Watches. We didn't have the kind of technology we have. We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have Facebook. We didn't have all of these different items that we have today that are commonplace and have made life easier for us. But along the way, the crashes that we saw, the dot-com boom, the recessions that we went through, in order to have achieved that $100,000 to $400,000 return, if you had invested exclusively in the S&P 500, and remember, nobody does, you would have had to go through some pretty challenging times too. Would have you had a crystal ball for that? Well, your crystal ball might have told you, maybe it's time to get out. Maybe we need to make some changes. But here's this interesting fact. Imagine if you relied on your crystal ball, or you relied on the voices of reason, and I say that in parentheses, voices of reason, from the media. Had you missed the 10 best days in the market over the 20-year period from 1998 to 2017, had you missed the 10 best days, do you know what your investment account would have been worth in 20 years? Only $200,000. Your $100,000 would have grown to $200,000 in 20 years, an average return of 3.52% a year. Had you left everything alone for 20 years and invested 100% in the S&P 500, didn't add any money, didn't take any money out, you would have averaged 7.17%. What if you missed the best 20 days over that 20 period of time? You would have annualized 1.13%. And here, let's make it worse. What if you missed the 30 best days? You'd be down 0.94%. Your $100,000 that you invested in 1998 would be worth less 20 years later. And what if you missed the best 60 days in the market? The best 60 days in the market over a 20-year period, your $100,000 would now be worth, get this, $28,000. Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any sense, but here's what's kind of interesting. Did you know that the days following some of the worst days in the market become some of the best days? Take this, for example. The best days in 2008 happened in the center of the Great Recession. It had 8 of the 20 best price returns for the S&P 500 since 1998. The best days to be invested in the market, despite having lousy days on the 29th of September 2008, the 9th and the 15th of October 2008, and the 1st of December of 2008. If you weren't invested on the 30th of December, the day after the 29th, on the 13th and the 20th, the days following some of the worst days, the 21st and the 24th of November, you would have lost. And here's the problem that many people have. Now they try to get worried and they say, okay, how do I get back in? When do I get back in? The point is, you don't. Here's the real story of what happened. Let me tell you a little story about what happened with us. It was October 8th of 2008. I was running a conference in Boston for the Financial Planning Association. I think there were something like 2 or 3,000 members at the brand new Boston Convention and Exhibition Center back then. I was the chair of the conference, and we were there to try to give financial planners advice and education to help better prepare their clients for their financial future. But during that week, on the 7th and the 9th of that week, the markets dropped dramatically. They dropped between 5 and 9% on each of those 2 days. It was a scary period of time because at that point, the market was hovering around 10,000. So to drop 10% when the market's at 10,000, that's a 1,000-point drop. That's scary. And when you're at a conference as a financial advisor and all of your clients are back home wondering what's going on, and this was 2008, so how easy was it to reach everybody via cell phone and talk and do all that stuff? You could do it, but it was a little more challenging. So what happened was on the 10th of October, which was a Friday, I needed to go to Disney World. Not needed to go, but my daughters were dancing in Disney World, and my family was scheduled to go on an airplane that Friday, the 10th, and fly down to Disney World. And that day, as I flew down on JetBlue, and it was the first time I had ever been on a JetBlue flight that had a TV in it, I watched Cramer, because I was a sucker like everybody else was, because who could have believed that the market was going to be as bad as it was, and the market continued to go down and down and down some more. So I land in Orlando, and my business partner Marion, who you've heard here on the radio many times, calls me on my cell phone. Yes, we did have cell phones then, but mine was a flip phone with a very long antenna. And she said, Mark, we're getting inundated with phone calls from people. You need to help me out. So I set up shop in my hotel room while my kids went off to the park with my wife, Laura. And I called back and spoke to many, many clients who called that day because they were worried. They were panicking. And the best thing to do when markets are tough, you have to ask yourself this one very important question. Will I be able to sleep tonight? And if the answer is that you cannot sleep, that the worry and fear of the markets have you so concerned that you can't even get a good night's sleep, then chances are you probably never had the best risk tolerance to start with, and your portfolio wasn't structured properly for you. But if it's causing you to lose sleep, yeah, it might mean to get out. But understand this, if you get out, you better plan to be out for a long time. And so this was the first time that people really irrationally started to look at the loss of money in 2008. And we had 40 people of our, I think it was 375 or 400 clients say, Mark, get me out, I'm losing sleep. And we got them out, we certainly did. It was not our strategy to get people out. We told people to hold tight despite the volatility. But they got out nevertheless. And then what happened on Monday morning? Monday morning happened to be Columbus Day. Now, many offices are closed on Columbus Day, but the market is not. The market is open on Columbus Day. The market rallied almost 900 points that day. And that led to a whole onslaught of new phone calls from people saying, oh my God, Mark, I got out. Can I get back in? Can you get back in just because the market went up 900 points or 700 points one day? You can, but you've missed it already. You've missed the run-up in the market. Because like I've taught you, if you buy individual mutual funds, if you buy indexed funds, you only get the price at the end of the day, not intraday. And what we realized is that the calls started coming in during that week of the 13th of October. People were calling me up saying, Mark, you know what I've realized? It's harder to be out of the market than it is to be in the market. It's harder to be out of the market than it is to be in the market. Because all the while they're wondering, did I get out at the wrong time? By the end of the week, 30 of those 40 people who got out were already back in. They say, you know what? I'm going to eat this loss, but I'm not going to let that happen to me again. And they've learned. You'll need to learn. Because nobody has a crystal ball. Yet all too often, people act as though they do. Today, we're in a volatile period of time that it appears to be a volatile period of time. I'm not concerned, nor should you be. The fluctuations in the market are small percentage points that it's moving on a day-to-day basis, both up and down. The market just doesn't know what direction to go in. Is now the right time to invest? The answer to that is, when will you need the money? If you don't intend on touching the money for 5 years or more, sure, great time to invest. But if you need the money in 6 months or even in 2 years, keep it in the bank. Keep it someplace really secure. Don't put your money to risk, especially if you need the money. The stock market is not gambling. The stock market is not playing the roulette wheel. It's not going out and going to the casino. Because did you know that the odds of winning in the casino are somewhere between 23 and 50%? Did you know that the odds of getting a positive return on the stock market on a one-year basis is 75%? On a three-year basis, it's 83%. On a five-year basis, 87%. And on a 15-year basis, 99.8% positive return, the chance of a positive return. That's all coming from the Morningstar Direct report that was issued on 12/31/2017 and appears in the Oppenheimer Funds report. Is the market really like a casino? Well, I'll tell you this. You have a way better chance of making money in the stock market than you do at playing the various games at the casino. Yet people love to run to the craps table. They love to run to get scratch tickets. If you're going to invest in the market, do it for the long term. We can help guide you. We're here to provide you financial advice in a language you can understand, and we'll be right back with more of that. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire. Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. And we are here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. to provide you with some answers to financial advice in a language you can understand. And today we're just talking about some basic consumer concepts, some stuff that we all hear about on a regular basis, but we're not quite sure how to put it all together. Everyone's out there willing to give us advice as to what we should do with our money. Everybody's got a thought. Everybody knows what's best for you. But have you ever asked them how they're doing and really get them to substantiate it? No, they really can't. That's like any type of salesman. A salesman is going to try to get you to sell anything that they can get you to buy. But you ask them how they're doing financially, and if it's their stuff is so successful and so good at it, why are they still selling? You got to understand where people are coming from. How are they doing? And do they have the right to judge how you should be doing with your financial life? Everybody's needs are different. The way you spend money and the way I spend money are two totally different ways. Some people will spend $2,000 a month and say, oh my God, that is more money than I could ever possibly imagine. Others will spend $20,000 a month and not know where the money goes and feel like, but I'm not spending that much money. There is no right or wrong answer. And one of the things that people tend to believe from me, being a financial planner and doing this for 28 years, our firm's been doing this 50 years, so we've got a lot of stories and a lot of experiences. You know, everybody wants to know, Mark, how am I doing compared to everybody else? And one of the things that I've learned is that, yes, despite the fact that I have the opportunity to pull back the curtain and look into all 450 lives of the people that we serve here in our office, I can tell you that no one's situation is the same. And that's really true. Some people are very comfortable saying, if I could get $50,000 a year for the rest of my life, Oh my God, that would be the greatest thing ever. And others say, Mark, I need $600,000 to cover my life. I will tell you on average, here's a couple numbers to put it all into perspective. The average person in our office who is in retirement hopes to spend after tax between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. $4,000 and $10,000 a month. Does that sound like you? Perhaps you don't even know. Maybe you should try to figure out how much you need to spend every month before you start trying to figure out, how should I invest my money? What should I buy? What should I do? How much do you really need? How much will you need so that you can continue to propel and spend the way you've been spending? So our average clients spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month. Our average typical client here has a net worth, including their home, of between $750,000 and $2.5 million. Yes, there are some on the other extremes that are larger than that. But if I said it, the average would be between those numbers. So think about that. That kind of falls within that $4,000 and $10,000. If you need to spend more than $10,000 a month, chances are your net worth is far greater than $2 million. But if you need to spend less than $4,000 a month, perhaps your net worth is less than $750,000. That just kind of puts it into perspective. But so many people are trying to figure out ways in which they can continue to make money quickly. Did you know that in lotteries, you need a dollar and a dream, and with equities, with stocks, with buying into the markets, you need a dollar and a consistent investment plan. Here's the thought. When people say to me, Mark, how do I make a quick buck? I tell them, you want to make a quick buck? Go either play the dogs, go to the track, or buy a scratch ticket. And most people think I'm serious, and I kind of am, because get this. The percentage of U.S. households that buy lottery tickets, what do you think the percentage of U.S. households are in America that buy a lottery ticket? 60%. I actually thought that number was low. Have you ever seen the buses that go down to Foxwoods? The number of people that buy lottery tickets is enormous. And the chances of winning the lottery is one out of 292 million chances. And the average person, you know what they spent on tickets, on lottery tickets in 2015? $300. That's what the average person spent. So ask yourself, are you the average? Are you spending more? Are you spending less? But get this. What if you invested with money into the stock market? Because 55% of U.S. households invest in the stock market. And did you know that there is a 1 in 15 chance, not 50, 1 in 15 chance that the S&P will hit a new high every day. So think about that. 30 days is in a month. There is the potential, and this is averages, remember, and we got a lot to say about averages. There could be twice within the month when the S&P could hit a new high. I mean, remember, there were periods of time last year where the S&P went on to hit a new high for almost 20 consecutive days. But imagine this. Since 40 years or so ago, 40 years, you started putting $25 a month into the stock market, $25 a month for 40 years, and you just continued to invest it in the S&P 500, that would be worth $162,000. You'd be buying good times. You'd be buying bad times. You'd be buying all times, but you'd at least be buying something towards moving towards. So you see, courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. That is a quote from Sir Winston Churchill. I'm going to say it once again. This comes from the Oppenheimer Fund's booklet of advice. Courage is rightly esteemed the first of human qualities because it is the quality which guarantees all others. You think about, imagine if you could take a look back at Time magazine and look at what's gone on since the 1920s. We've had this thing called Black Tuesday. We've had the Day of Infamy. We have the markets. We've had the day that changed America when President Kennedy was assassinated in the 60s. We had the push to impeach when we impeached Richard Nixon. We had the crash of 1986. We had our terrorist attack, the terrorist attack that happened here on our soil in 9/11. And then we faced the new hard times in 2008. All of these things happened. Yet the market continued to grow. $10,000 back in 1900 grew to $3.4 million. No, I'm not expecting you to do that. No, I'm not expecting you to hang around for 117 years, frankly. No one ever does. But in the 20th century, the United States endured two world wars, the Depression, a dozen or so recessions, and financial panics, oil shocks, a flu epidemic, and the resignation of a disgraced president. Yet the Dow, through all of that time, rose from 66 to 11,497. That's right. I said 11,497 because Warren Buffett made that statement in 2008. And so from 2008 to 2018, we've gone from 11,497 to pretty much double that. Should you be a concerned investor? I say no. I say you should be preparing a strategy that puts you in the right frame of mind for you not to be doing it alone, for you to be working with a financial advisor to help you set up that investment strategy that aligns with your overall financial plan so you are prepared for the future. Do you like these stories? Do you like these charts? There's got to be about 300 of them here in this booklet, and perhaps we'll share others on another Sunday. But that's going to do it for us today. We're all out of time. I know it's a short last segment, but I got a little long-winded in the earlier ones. But that's it for today. If you want to get our free newsletter, go to my website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website. Click on the button that says, or click on actually on the page at the very bottom that says sign up for Mark's newsletter. You'll let us know your email address, let us know how you've heard about us, and we will get you signed up for our new newsletter, Planning Pointers, which is surpassing its 500th edition. We've been doing this a long time, 50 years since 1968. We've been there, we've done that, and if we can do it for you, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108 to schedule your free initial consultation, and that's going to do it for us today. I'm out of here. You've been listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.